Financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the second hour of Current Issues, the radio show. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. And to tell you the truth, I'm not really sure what the problem with the phone. We kept dropping the call with Susan, and now we can't get hold of her. I mean, she was scheduled to be in the first hour, so if she is listening, and because I know Mark had few questions for her, would like to ask her. And if she's able to, we're going to continue. The producer's going to continue trying to call her. And I don't know what is going on with the phone lines. But Mark, you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know, in Islam, you are to accept. Muslims don't look at themselves as that they came from nowhere, or when the religion was established by Muhammad, peace be upon him, he did not come up with anything new. It was it was like progress from what actually took place way back with Abraham. Muslims go back all the way to Abraham, as do Jews and as do Christians. And so it's a continuation of the same message that Abraham, that God had given Abraham. That's what the Muslim religion is all about. It's not a brand new religion. And as a matter of fact, most of the stories that are in the Bible, they are also in the Quran. The flood and Noah and Abraham and Moses and even the story of Jesus. And let me remind our listeners that Jesus is mentioned 52 times in the Quran, while Muhammad is only mentioned only 5 times. And so by the way, Muslims do honor Jesus, and they do honor, they recognize him. Islam is the only religion besides Christianity that that recognizes Jesus. Judaism does not. Any other religion does not. All religions do not recognize Jesus as being the as a true messenger of God and as a true prophet. And you know, even though Muslims differ in the identity of Jesus from Christians, but at least they do recognize who he is and the miracle of his birth. When we come back, Mark, from the break, when we come back, we're going to dive into that question, me and you. We will be right back.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, Clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
You lost me there for a second. Oh, we are live now. Okay, welcome back. We still have Mark with us?
I am here.
Okay, well, tell you what, I lost connection there myself. So, now, let's talk about a conspiracy here with the phone lines, Mark. What do you think?
Well, who's the guy at the station running it?
What's his
name?
He's doing a good. He's doing a good job.
I know.
But speaking of why Palestine is being actually the Christians in Palestine, think of what's going on with Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. It's surrounded by a wall. People can't even go in or out of Bethlehem without having the permission of the Israeli authorities. And I remember last Christmas when I forgot his name, but he is like the Christian patriarch or something. Every year they have like a pilgrimage from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And when he got to Bethlehem, they would not let him in. Finally, with after hours and hours of negotiations, they allowed him to go in, but nobody from his entourage was able to go in into Bethlehem to do the midnight mass. It is not, you know, the Muslims have lived with Christians for over 1,400 years now all over the world, and even Christians have lived, Christians and Jews. Jews will tell you that the best time they did have was in Spain throughout their history under under a Muslim ruler. What do you think?
Well, I guess the thing that I'm driving at here is whenever we hear about the Palestinians, we only hear about the Palestinian Muslims. And one of the points that I think should be made is that Christians have been living there literally since the days of Jesus. Okay, I mean, after all, guys with names like Peter and James and all the other ones, they were living in this place known as Palestine. Strictly speaking, they were not Jews because they were not from Judea. They were from the area to the north known as Galilee. So strictly speaking, they were Galileans. And the point that I guess that I'm trying to drive at here is that Americans, if they want to get a better understanding of what is going on there, they have to stop looking at this as simply a Muslim thing, that there are Christians there, and that the Christians and the Muslims have been living side by side, particularly in Palestine, for hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, I guess the question that I'm getting at with you is, with all of this upheaval that has taken place since really before 1948, how do the Christians and Muslims get along today as a result of this? I know that, for example, some of the Palestinian resistance groups, I know at least one of them was founded by a Christian. Is that not right?
Oh, yes, the PFLP.
Yes, the PFLP, and it was George
Habesh, yes.
Exactly. So this is something that people have got to understand, which is that Christians, the Christian Palestinians, they are fighting to liberate their land as well. Now,
and
to add to that,
there's another Palestinian faction, which is the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine of Naif Hawatmi, who is a Jordanian Christian, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this thing is not a Muslim thing, is the point that I'm trying to make. Now, the question that I have for you, Hisham, is this. Since the rising of Hamas, have you seen less participation on the part of the Palestinian Christians? It seems like what they're just doing is packing up and leaving, and that it is indeed the Muslims who are doing most of the work in trying to liberate their land. But since Hamas has come to power...
Well, you see, I got your question. You see, it is easier for Christians to leave because, you know, Israel is making life miserable for all people, not just Muslims, but also Christians. These walls that they are putting around, and when they bombard a town, they don't just hit Muslims' homes. They also, a lot of Christians have also died, being killed by the Israelis. And so it is not. And also, let's not forget that Israel has a law that was enacted at the Knesset, that's the Israeli Congress or Parliament, that Christians, missionaries are not welcome in Palestine, and as a result, you as a Christian organization, you will have to sign an agreement with the Israeli government that you will not try to propagate your faith. That's another reason why Christianity is dwindling in Palestine, because what the Israelis would like to see is basically a Jerusalem and a Palestine that is completely emptied of both. You know, when you say Palestinians, you don't only refer to Muslims, but you also refer to Christians. And let's not forget what Jerusalem is all about. You know, it is one of the holiest places in Christianity. And Israel would like to get all the Christians out of Jerusalem. And, you know, what's so sad about this whole thing, Mark, is we see some Christian organizations like the John Hagee organizations that are basically promoting Jerusalem to be nothing but a Jewish city. And let's not forget what happened back in 1967 with the Liberty story, which most of our listeners are familiar with that story. And I know, Mark, you covered the Liberty Convention in the 40th anniversary of the Liberty, and our Congress on that same day when the Liberty guys were meeting in Washington just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. And what happened is our Congress issued a congratulatory letter they sent out to, not really a letter, it's an act of Congress, they sent out to the Israeli government saying congratulations for uniting Jerusalem. And, you know, most of these people are Christians in Congress. And you see how even Christians in the United States, those people who are in power, are actually helping Israel into emptying Jerusalem out of its Christian inhabitants.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess what I would like to know is, what is the mood on the part of the Christians in Palestine today towards the Muslims? Do they see them as a problem? I mean, if you go to WorldNet Daily or any of these other Christian Zionist websites, you will be treated to a truckload of stories from supposed Christians from the area who say, "Oh, the Muslims, they are just terrible to us, and this and that, and this and that." What is the real state of relations between the Christians and the Muslims in Palestine?
It's a brotherly a relationship that has been there for over 1,400 years, and I guarantee you, if you go to the streets of Ramallah, you will see in some areas, you will probably see more Christians than you will see Muslims. And the thing is, you know, I lived over there. We had neighbors who were Christians. We did not look at them as being different. We did not look at them as being not Palestinians or more Palestinians or less Palestinians than the Palestinians. They are in government. They are in the resistance. They are defending their homes and their land just as the Muslims are. And if you go to any Palestinian faction in the armed resistance, you will see that there are Palestinian Christians in those movements, because, I mean, being a Christian does not, you don't lose your right in defending your homes and in defending your land and in defending your lives. And it is a war that is being waged by the Israelis on both Christianity and Islam. You know, what we have been seeing, and, you know, with Hamas taking over in Gaza, this thing, you know, it's not, and this is actually I was going to be talking about in the second hour of exactly what happened there, but I don't want to get off the subject that you started, you know, the relationship between Muslims and Christians in the Holy Land or throughout the Arab world and even in some of the Muslim countries who are not Arabs, like, for instance, Iran or Pakistan or you know, there are a lot of Muslims in India, and, you know, you don't see problems there between Christians and Muslims. The only place you will see that on websites such as the World Net Daily, which basically it is their job to be there to draw a big wedge between the Christians and the Muslims. Stay tuned. We will be right back after the break.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural, .com.
Ah. Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. And, you know, really this in the second hour, we wanted to try to explain to you what happened in Gaza. As you have been probably watching TV and listening to other commentators as to exactly what is going on and what is happening. Now, let me remind you that what you see on TV from the mainstream media, and that is like Fox, CNN, ABC, NBC, the rest of them, is not really what is happening on the ground. Number one, the Palestinians don't have a state. There is no independent state called Palestine. That's what the whole problem is all about. Now, the problem between the Palestinians and the Israelis started before 1948. In 1948, that's when Israel was established. But if we go a few decades before 1948, you have the Zionist movement that started back like in the 1890-something in Europe.
And basically, it was a European movement that won it, and it was not a religious movement at all. As a matter of fact, the leaders of that movement, until today, they are not religious people. So let's not confuse Israel with the Jews and this particular problem being a Jewish problem, even though they call it the Jewish state, but they have used the religion in so many ways to manipulate people into supporting the Jewish takeover of Palestine. But before then, it was mainly Palestine was inhabited by the Palestinians, who, by the way, have Jews within them too. There are Jews who consider themselves Palestinians, as well as Christians and Muslims. Now, the Jews of Europe, who basically they have converted to Judaism in the 7th and 8th century in Europe, that's who the Jews, 90% of Jews today, are basically the product of that conversion back in the 7th and 8th century. Now, these people, we're not going to go through the history of the Jews in Europe. Everyone is familiar with that. And but after World War II and after the so-called Holocaust took place, the world very much was sympathetic to the Jews and allowed them to go to a home that did not belong to them. And these are not, even if you want to go into biblical things and biblical studies and biblical narratives, you will see that these Jews are not the seeds of Abraham. And these Jews are not religious Jews who are adhering to the Jewish religion, but these people are Jews because Jewishness, ladies and gentlemen, is not really a religious label. It's more of a state of mind, because, you know, you do have Jews who practically belong to the Jewish faith, but a lot of those people who consider themselves Jews, they probably were born into a Jewish family or to a Jewish mother. And it's more of a social label. It's more of a belonging to that particular group, even though religion is not really a huge part of Jewishness. You know, this might come as a surprise to some of you, but most Jews in the world are not religious people and do not believe in the scriptures as like the Torah or other Jewish scriptures. But let's bring you back to 1948 when, at that time, prior to 1948, England had a mandate over Palestine. After World War One and the defeat of the Ottoman Empire, that region was basically divided between the British and the French, and England had control of Palestine, and they very much they have made it easier and encouraged the British policies, encouraged the migration of Jews to Palestine even before the Holocaust. The migration started way back, and if you some of you might recall that the Palestinians had back in 1936, you know, this is way before Hitler and way before anything took place as far as the Holocaust is concerned. Jews started migrating through the help of England to Palestine, and I'm talking about European Jews, people with blonde hair and blue eyes who genetically have nothing to do with the land. Those people converted in Europe and became Jews, but they started migrating to Palestine. And in 1936, there was a problem there between the Palestinians. You know, they had a basically, the Palestinians decided that we've had enough of this immigration. Now we know what these immigrants are all about. And we will continue with this after we come back from the break. It's extremely important that we talk about these historical facts so you will understand what is going on today. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Matson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 3 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. And just to continue with what we are talking about, and you're welcome to weigh in on this subject, the number is 800-313-9443. So back in 1947, the United Nations, after deliberations, and of course you have to understand the United Nations was controlled by the powers that be at that time, as it is now, and they have decided to partition Palestine between the Jews and the Arabs. And the Arabs, that's not just the Muslims, but also the Christians too. And the Jews got 52% of the land, even though their numbers were only one-third of the population at that time, due to the mass influx of Jews after World War II to Palestine. It went from basically being less than 1% at the turn of the century, like in the 1900s, into about 30% in 1947. So the United Nations decided to give them 52% of the land.
And the Arabs, who were two-thirds of the population, that's the Muslims and the Christians, they were given 48% of the land. Of course, the Arabs refused that deal because it's just like someone coming to your house and saying, look, I'm going to take two-thirds of your house and your family can take that back bedroom or the bedroom on top of the garage, and that's where you will be living from now on. Of course, you're not going to like it. So the Arabs, the Palestinians, both Muslims and Christians, refused that deal. And in 1948, England decided to withdraw, but not after it had well-equipped the Jews, basically turned over all government apparatus to the Jews. So basically they had a government that was already functioning there, because the British had a policy of depriving the Arabs of everything. I mean, if you were an Arab and you were caught with a gun, that's death penalty right away. But on the same time, they had allowed the Jews to be equipped with tanks and big guns and even airplane fighters. And so what happened is Israel was established in 1948 and forced many Palestinians off their land by either forcing them or by either killing, just going into a town and kill everyone in that town, like what happened with Deir Yassin and what happened with other. There were atrocities taking place back in 1948. It's unbelievable. You would not believe what was taking place back then. So the Palestinians became refugees, and some of them went to what is known today as the West Bank and Gaza. And they were there in refugee camps, as well as some of them went to Lebanon, some of them went to Syria. And in the West Bank, in 1967, Israel decided to take the rest of the West Bank and Gaza. So it controlled 100% the lives and the land of the Palestinians. And with that act in 1967, that resulted in another wave of Palestinian refugees into mainly Jordan and some into Syria. Not a lot into Lebanon, but mainly into Jordan. So what happened the PLO was, established and started resisting the Israelis. And as you know, in 1993, the Israelis and the Palestinians have signed the Oslo Peace Agreement, which was the land for peace deal that the United States under President Clinton, but actually that process, it started a little bit before that under George Bush, the father, and with the Madrid Peace Conference. So in 1992, I believe, 91, 92, basically 92. So President Clinton took over that deal from Bush the father, and he was able to convince the Israelis and the Palestinians into signing the peace agreement. Really, it was not a peace agreement. It was an agreement to talk about peace at a later time, because they have left almost everything to speak about or to speak of or to discuss later. So the agreement that they signed, it was a peace agreement to talk about peace. And also one of the statements or one of the stipulation within that program or within that peace agreement was that a sovereign Palestinian state would be established within 5 years. That would give it like 1998. Well, that did not happen. The Palestinians had basically accepted, even though they were given 47% of the land back in 1947, which they rejected, they were forced in 1993 to accept only the West Bank and Gaza, which is 22% of the land. And they said, hey, that's fine, we accept it. And they recognized Israel, they recognized the right of Israel to exist, and basically that was it. Nothing else happened no Palestinian state. The borders were still controlled by the Israelis and still are. Israel is basically taking, confiscating the land. Israel is building settlements on the piece that was the piece of land that was included in the 1993 peace agreement, which is where the Palestinian state is supposed to be. But yet Israel has over about 500,000 settlers living, and they continue to build these settlements, which basically the settlements was the problem, because in 1998 there was no state, there was no Palestinian state, and the Palestinian situation was still, Israel was still controlling the land, Israel has its army on the land, and the Palestinians could not really move within their own areas. So that's when the negotiations continued, and Israel basically started building this big wall around the Palestinians. Now, let's go back or move forward, actually, to the Israelis refused to sign peace with the Palestinians during Yasser Arafat's reign. And the United States had forced Arafat to hold an election. Now, you see, this is where, when I said what you see on TV is not really what is happening in front of you, because when we, the objective of why we went to Iraq was basically to take over Iraq, destroy Saddam, destroy the country, divide the country into three smaller states, and have this division come the result of the infighting between the people who have been living in Iraq for thousands of years. Now, because this was an Israeli, this is an Israeli conspiracy back in 1982. It was published. We talk about it. We talked about it on this show, which is the Zionist plan for the Middle East. And it said back in 1982, go to Iraq, remove Saddam, inflame the sectarian violence, which will result in the division of the country. And you see now that's exactly the objective, because we had no other objective to gain except basically be the tool for the Israelis to accomplish what they want and their objectives. Now, let's go back to Palestine. And when we have forced Arafat, now remember, there is no state, there's nothing called the Palestinian state. There are Palestinian people and there are Palestinian leadership, and the PNA, the Palestinian National Authority, is just an authority that was supposed to last for 5 years until the establishment of a Palestinian state. The vision, the two-state solution that President Bush and George W. Had basically envisioned, if you remember a few years back, he said he has a vision of two states. Now, we forced Arafat to hold elections, and we said we are supporting Fatah. Okay, sorry about that. I think we lost connection there for a second. But are we back on the air? Okay. So I don't know which one you have, but the last thing I was saying is we basically said in the Palestinian election that we support Fatah against Hamas. When you are not liked in one area of the world, if you support a particular faction, that is a curse on that particular faction. So when the United States government said we support Fatah, that is a curse. That is not, that does not give Fatah any help. All that will say is Fatah is in the American camp, and that is a curse on people in that region. Now, even though we said we support Hamas, we support Fatah, we did not help Fatah in any way. We did not tell the Israelis to give Fatah anything, you know, to give Arafat anything. So he can show his people that, hey, we are having something tangible on the ground. On the contrary, we, as the United States government and the Israeli government, have done everything possible to weaken Arafat and weaken his faction, Fatah. At the same time, we did not do much to weaken the other guy, which is Hamas, which basically we have done everything in our capacity to strengthen Hamas, even though publicly we are saying we are with Fatah. But you see, Fatah was the dominant power, and if any solution was going to take place, it will take place within with Fatah and with Arafat when he was living. Now, we had said, the United States government said, that we want to help Fatah, so we're sending them $2 million. At the same time, no one did anything to prevent Hamas from bringing in $20 million from Iran in one day during the elections. But we said we're helping Fatah, so the media there, when we announced that we are sending $2 million to help Fatah with their elections against Hamas, that actually destroyed a lot of Fatah credibility with the voters, because number one, the United States, that is seen as the power behind Israel and the power that is helping Israel against the Palestinians. So when you are saying, I'm taking this guy's side, guess what happens to that particular side? It will be weakened. It will be accusations of traitors and being in the in bed with the Americans and in bed with the Israelis. But on the at the same time, we allowed Hamas to bring in all these millions of dollars, which in turn, basically this democracy that we told the Palestinians you must have, actually worked the opposite from what we as the United States government were publicly saying. Now, I don't understand, if you have a problem with Hamas, and if you know Hamas is not recognizing Israel, and if you know that Hamas had all these problems, and if you know that Hamas had the chance or had the opportunity to actually win the election, why would you force the Palestinians to have an election when they're not even a government, they're not a state? Why not wait until you have a full independent and sovereign state and see what kind of system that they will be using? And if it's not going to be democratic, then you can force them into having democracy. And then you basically accept what the democratic system or the democratic process have given. Well, Hamas won the elections because we basically weakened the other party, but this was what was needed and what was wanted by the Israelis. They wanted to weaken Arafat. They wanted to weaken that party, so they will have two equivalent parties within the Palestinians to start and end fighting between them. Since we can't use the sectarian violence against the Palestinians because they are one people, one religion, one faith, and the majority of them, and there's no Sunnis and Shiites within the Palestinian camp, so we had to create something else that could be the dividing factor, and that's when we basically allowed Hamas to take over the government. Now, we bring you back to when Sharon became the prime minister. Sharon did not want, number one, did not want Gaza, period, and as you see, and he on his side, he basically accepted, or not even accepted, he took it upon himself to remove the settlers. There were like 8,000 settlers in Gaza, and remove his 22,000 troops that were in Gaza to basically protect these settlers. But they always wanted, part of the problem was that the West Bank and Gaza, they are not, if anyone is familiar with the geography of Gaza and the West Bank, they are not connected. Gaza is all the way on the southwest side of Palestine, And the West Bank is almost like in the center right there by the Dead Sea. So there is a huge distance between them and they're not connected. Israel is in between. So part of the problem was to connect the West Bank with Gaza. Now, Sharon tried and said, we're not going to have a connection. We're not going to have a safe zone between the two so they can be connected. Now, remember, these are the same people in the West Bank and in Gaza. So with Sharon removing his troops and removing his settlers, basically started the countdown for the separation of Gaza and the West Bank. Now, also, another thing that we have done is we basically continued this thing, the American government and Israel continued this thing. Saying with Abbas work with the government of the president, not the government. And we will continue with this because it's extremely important. We're almost finished with this, so you'll understand exactly what took place in Gaza, and it's exactly what the United States government and Israel been wanting to do for a long time. So we will be right back.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. And before I forget, I will be going to that region. I'll be going to the Middle East to work on a documentary. So the first 2 weeks in July, we will not have a live show. We'll probably have probably broadcast some of the previous shows. But so I will be working on a documentary in Palestine. And we will tell you about it when we come back, when I come back. So just to go back, so the United States policy and the Israelis' objective was to separate the West Bank from Gaza. Now, in Gaza, we very much allowed Hamas to bring in all kind of equipment, even though on the publicly we were against Hamas, and publicly we were doing everything possible to prevent Hamas from bringing in any money. You remember when the Prime Minister Haniyeh was had $20 million and wanted to cross, bring the money in to Gaza, and it was a big deal about it, et cetera, et cetera. But yet Hamas is able, you know, they can't bring in money to feed their people, but yet they are bringing millions of dollars to equip an army. And that's what it was, army with jeeps, big guns, jeeps, and other military equipment. This army was well equipped. It was better equipped than the forces of the government that was already there in Gaza. And when the time was ripe, basically, Hamas took it upon itself to very much do what the Israelis have been trying to do for a long time, which is separate Gaza from the West Bank. The question is, how did Hamas bring in all this equipment if the Israelis were not basically allowing them to bring it? How did they bring all this money? You know, they have equipped a whole army to take over. How did they do that if it was not with the help of the Israelis? So publicly, the Israelis and the Americans are saying one thing, and at the same time, you see, the same time we are working with Fatah and we're saying, we are with you, you want peace with Israel, but we're not giving Fatah any tangible things to show, any political gains to show the people in Palestine that their program is really going to work on liberating the land. At the same time, we are basically allowing Hamas to take the credit for resisting Israel and basically being the anti-American, anti-Israel force within the Palestinian camp, while on the other side, Fatah, we have showed it to be as being on the American camp, which is the reality is totally different on the ground. It is not what we basically try to show the whole world that it is. And if you remember when Hamas took over, we very much said, oh, we are supporting Abbas. Well, where in the world were you when Hamas was taken over Gaza? All it would have taken is two Apache helicopters to go on when Hamas sent in this army to take over the Palestinian security forces that was already there on the ground. All would have taken like 30 minutes and the whole job would be over with if we really care for not Hamas taking over Gaza. But we allowed it because this is exactly what Israel wants. They want to divide the West Bank from Gaza, and they have succeeded. Hamas had given them exactly what they wanted. We will see you not next week, but we'll be back the week after the, the 16th. You'll figure it out. But we'll be back in the States on the 16th. So we will see you then. Keep up the good work.
With recent internet